time.
It's time for the OTH Daily Podcast.
7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Good morning and happy Monday to you, and welcome to the OTH Daily Podcast. I'm your host, the man behind the mic, Christian Rao. We have a great episode for you today, January 13th, 2020. We're going to talk NFL playoffs, college football national championship game tonight, and we break down the college basketball rankings. The power rankings are here at OTH. We're going to break it down as well as college scoreboards and everything else you need to know to start off your week right here at OTH Daily. Without further ado, let's get started. Ed Stang is a writer at OTH, and you can find him on Twitter at Ed Stang. Hey Ed, how you doing? Happy Monday. I hope you had a great weekend. We got a lot to talk about. There was a lot of good football on.
Yeah, good morning, Christian. Yeah, definitely a lot of really good games on Sunday and Saturday. So let's do this. Let's talk some football.
Absolutely. Let's get started. Let's start right off the beginning of the NFL divisional playoffs. And what started with that was the Minnesota Vikings and the San Francisco 49ers in Santa Clara. The Niners beat the Vikings 27-10. They'll head to the NFC Championship, and Jimmy Garoppolo was pretty impressive. The stats didn't really show too much, only 131 yards, one touchdown and a pick, but he played very well, and that San Francisco defense played great too. I'd like to hear a take on this one, but 27-10 final, San Francisco beats those Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, this game really came out kind of hype in the beginning, but it really played out to a lot of what we were talking about on Friday's podcast. If the 49ers could have controlled the ball, Garoppolo didn't make too many mistakes. He did have the one interception early, but the big difference was it didn't hurt them that much because the 49ers were able to hold them to only 3 points. The 49ers defense was able to kind of get that back, was able to get a pick from Cousins, and that was done by Richard Sherman, and he pretty much put the 49ers in a really good spot there. They cashed it in for touchdowns. And the biggest thing that really comes down to playoff time, turnovers have to turn into touchdowns because field goals will not win you football games. And the running game of the Packers really showed in this game, and they basically just took the ball and rammed it right down the Vikings' throat, and that was really evident on that one drive after they Jimmy Garoppolo had that interception. They went with like 7 or 8 straight running plays and just walked right into the end zone.
When you look at the running game for the Niners, you were completely right. 105 scrimmage yards for Coleman on the Niners. And then if you look at the Vikings side, only 26 yards for Dalvin Cook, someone who we were talking about being in a possible MVP race at one time in the season. So that's a big deal. The Niners really shut that down. The 49ers have won 5 of 6 playoff matchups against the Vikings now, and all of them were in the divisional round. So this sets a record for most wins versus a team in one playoff round. Very impressive feat by the 49ers. Definitely some history here. So about this defense, though, stopping the run, are they going to be able to do that moving forward in the NFC Championship game?
I think they can. They have one of the best defensive fronts in all of football. And that's a proven fact, and they've done it really this whole year. The biggest thing is I think they were the first team ever to have 4 first-round draft picks as their starting defensive line. So not only do they play really well on the backside with Sherman leading that defensive secondary, but that defensive front is one of the best fronts in all of the NFL.
We're talking about the San Francisco 49ers defeating the Minnesota Vikings on Saturday in the NFL divisional round. And the 49ers got off to a great start. They scored the first touchdown on their opening drive. The Niners are 6-1 this season when scoring on their opening drive. And the Vikings have lost all 3 games when they allow an opening drive touchdown. So right off the bat, that deficit for the Vikings definitely hurt them. And seeing that touchdown and seeing those great plays by Tevin Coleman, he has really been impressive. He has really done a lot of things good. He is the first 49ers player with two or more rushing touchdowns in a playoff game since the ageless wonder Frank Gore, which happened back in the 2012 NFC Championship game. These Niners look really good, and I think they're going to be a threat come next week in that NFC Championship round. How do you feel?
I definitely feel that way. If they can control the line of scrimmage once again, it should be a really good matchup overall to what happens, and we'll get into that matchup later on in the week, probably on for Friday's podcast. But I think this is going to be one hell of a championship game.
I want to just – I know that I was going on the Saturday's games, but I actually want to bounce over to the Green Bay Packers and the Seattle Seahawks game. We'll talk about that one first. Let's get the NFC out of the way as we're discussing that in the moment. So that game was fantastic last night. That was probably, in my opinion, the Sunday slate was absolutely incredible. We'll talk about the other game in Kansas City, but wow, this game really did not disappoint. It was a slugfest throughout. Green Bay winds up winning the football game 28-23, and it was pretty close. Russell Wilson looked fantastic in the game. Obviously couldn't finish off, but he had 277 yards, and Aaron Rodgers did his thing. 243 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. The Packers are on their way to the NFC Championship game. The Packers versus the Niners sounds really good, but your thoughts about this game against the Seahawks?
Yeah, this was a very good football game, and I was really leery on this one because what we spoke about on Friday, the Seahawks are a very resilient football team, and they've proved it all year, and they've been the better team on the road than they have been at home. And when they started that comeback in the second half and they put in that last touchdown to make it 24-28, I was like, oh boy, here we go, because now we got a game. And it was going to come down to, could the Seattle defense step up and stop them on that drive to give the ball back to Russell Wilson with 2 minutes left on the clock to make a winning drive. Unfortunately, Rodgers stepped up, and this was the thing we were talking about Friday too. How's Rodgers going to do? This is going to be a key moment for his career because he's had failures in the past in the divisional round, and him and Davante Adams just kill the Seattle defense just all day.
When we look at these NFC games, wasn't something that happened like the wild card round. Both home teams won, and that was a big deal. When you look at how important it was, especially that Week 17 game between Seattle and San Francisco, this made Russell Wilson have to go to Lambeau, and he is not very good in Lambeau. Russell Wilson is a great quarterback, but one of his weaknesses has been when he has to travel to Green Bay. This is the only stadium that Russell Wilson has visited more than once and has not won a football game. He is 0-4 in his career in Lambeau Field. Something to keep in mind as we move forward of how important that game, Week 17, and it was by a yard too. Remember that play? So very impressive moving forward, but this NFC Championship matchup, the San Francisco 49ers and the Green Bay Packers, it'll be in Santa Clara. It'll be in San Francisco. Your thoughts on that one as we move forward? And it's going to be really good.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one heck of a weekend when these games get played. This, I think, will be the tougher of the two games just because of the type of offenses that the Packers and the Niners are. This is going to be an old fashioned in the 90s when we were watching Brett Favre and the Niners and the Dallas Cowboys all go at it all those years in the divisional playoffs, in the NFC championship games. And it's going to be old school style football here. And you're going to see a war in the trenches, but really in the grand scheme of things, it's going to end up on the shoulders of both quarterbacks is the who makes less mistakes.
That San Francisco 49ers defense is very tough, especially against the run. They're going to have to worry about the passing game a little more against Green Bay. Davante Adams, 160 yards, two touchdowns in this game last night. But let's move on to the AFC. As I said on Saturday, this game was really impressive too. The playoffs have been very impressive so far in general. All these games have been great. But the Tennessee Titans shocked the world and defeat the Baltimore Ravens 28-12. Ryan Tannehill, with his 88 yards and two touchdowns, defeats the number one seed in the AFC. You know, the Titans did it all in the back of Derrick Henry, though. Almost 200 yards rushing, 195 yards, averaging almost 7 yards per carry. This Titans team is something to really pay attention to as we move forward for next week's AFC Championship game. Your thoughts about this game?
Yeah, this game was definitely interesting in the grand scheme of things. It was always going to be about who could control the ball. But what we were talking about Friday was, can Tennessee keep Lamar in the pocket, but also when he did get out of the pocket and bring containment, could they tackle him? And they were able to tackle him and keep the big plays at a bare minimum. It wasn't until much later in the second half that Lamar started getting loose a little bit with some big run plays, but that was mainly because the Titans were already kind of relaxed in their coverages because they were more in a prevent at that time. So Lamar racked up a lot of yards, but it was kind of junk yards in the second half that he was getting, because the biggest thing was the Titans were playing very bend, don't break in the second half. And for the first time this year, got stuffed on multiple fourth and one plays, which I think really hurt their psyche a little bit, because all season they could not be stopped. Lamar got stopped both fourth and ones in that first half, and that was critical for the defense.
Not only did they miss on a couple of fourth and ones, Lamar Jackson also had three giveaways. But when you talk about the yards, he racked up a lot of them. He racked up 508 total yards. Still, you know, garbage time or not, I still find that a little impressive. 365 in the air and still 143 yards passing. To me, there's no doubt that even with this loss, he'll still be the MVP this season. But the Titans, hey, they're the sixth seed, and they're going to the AFC Championship game. It's the first time since 2010, New York Jets, to do this thing. And this is the first time that the Titans have won multiple playoff games since 1999. And I love that Super Bowl. They wound up losing by the stretch, if you remember, against the greatest show on turf, the St. Louis Rams. So we'll see if that can maybe some kind of change will happen. But I'm really liking that Vrabel offense. Honestly, the whole Vrabel team for the Tennessee Titans. Really excited moving forward and how they look in this AFC Championship, and how exciting it is for Ryan Tannehill to have his career resurrected here in the playoffs for the Titans. Your thoughts real quick before we move on.
Yeah, I agree. Tannehill is going to make himself some money in this offseason. Even though I don't even think he's broken 200 yards passing in these two games, he's being efficient. He's making the throws when the offense needs them, and he's not making mistakes. So that's the biggest key here when you have an offensive line like the Titans do, but also when you have the leading rusher in the NFL, that's an absolute workhorse in this league, and they're proving it right now. They're riding Derrick Henry.
Well, let's go over to the game that happened at the beginning of yesterday. It started off a little shocking, and it ended very shocking. That's between the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, when I tell you this score, this is not a typo. Kansas City wins the football game 51-31. Houston was winning at the end of the first quarter 21-0. They actually blew a 24-0 lead. Kansas City with 41 straight unanswered points. Deshaun Watson had a great game, almost 400 yards passing, but Patrick Mahomes really did his thing. 5 touchdowns through the air. You know, after they finally had some issues at first, you know, there was a blocked punt by Kansas City. There was a muffed punt return by Tyreek Hill. The wide receivers were having a tough time, you know, holding onto the football at the beginning of the game. But once they finally gelled in, Andy Reid and that Kansas City Chiefs get a win, and they're heading to the AFC Championship game. This game was absolutely electric. Love to hear your take on this one.
Yeah, this was definitely a build to what we were talking about Friday's podcast. We thought this would be the shootout game, especially if the weather cooperated. The weather cooperated. Even though it was still kind of cold, which is always known for January weather in Kansas City, the field looked pristine, no snow, blue skies, and this game did not disappoint by any means. The fast start by Houston, everybody was like jaw dropped on this one. We were talking about it through text during the game. When they scored that touchdown, I was like, all right, Chiefs kind of rolled in there. They had that big kickoff return from Hardman that got them to the 42-yard line of Tennessee, and that kind of sparked them, and that's exactly what they needed. And then in two plays, they were back right in the end zone and got that first score. I think the turning point for me in this game, I think it was a very poor decision by Bill O'Brien to go for a fake punt on 4th and 4 inside your own 40 when you're leading by 17 and you're controlling the game. We know Kansas City has a fast strike offense, but up 17 in that point of the field, you have to punt the football.
Now, Kansas City scored their points to keep the catch up very quick. And Patrick Mahomes, as I said, had a day. He is the first player since 1950 with 300-plus passing yards, 5-plus passing touchdowns, and 50-plus rushing yards in a playoff game. 1950, Patrick Mahomes, the reason that he was the MVP last year. And the crazy thing about it, he did all this, and only a couple months ago, he had a dislocated kneecap. So obviously doesn't look like that's really affecting him at all. And that, you know, both these championship games are going to be really impressive. But looking at Tennessee versus Kansas City, that's going to be a very, very exciting one as well. Your take on that one real quick before we move on.
Yeah, this one is probably going to turn out to be a shootout a little bit just because we know Kansas City struggles against the run overall. So they're going to have their hands full trying to stop Derrick Henry in that offensive line. But Tennessee is also going to have their hands full with that defensive backfield. The biggest thing that's going to have to play out, though, and this is the difference, I think, between Tennessee's defense and Houston's defense, besides their DBs being a little bit better, is Kansas City's not going to have the dropsies like they did in this game. I think at one point in the first half, they had 4 drops, and 3 of them would have been for first downs. So Kansas City really had a lot of self-inflicted wounds in that first half. I mean, they were able to bounce back, and they just basically blitzkrieged Houston there. But I think this is going to be one hell of an AFC championship game, and I think just about anything can happen.
I'd like to move to a different topic now, and that's something that's a little near and dear to your heart, and that's the Cleveland Browns. They finally made a decision to hire their new head coach after firing Freddie Kitchens after the 6-10 season this year, and they go ahead and go with offensive coordinator from the Minnesota Vikings, Kevin Stefanski. You know, Stefanski, he did a great job with the Vikings this year, obviously got him to the divisional round. They lost on Saturday to the San Francisco 49ers. And he has some experience with wide receivers. He had Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs this season. Obviously, he'll have OBJ and Jarvis Landry next year. Your thoughts on this as the pickup here? A lot of people thought that it might have been the defensive coordinator from San Francisco. I know that McCarthy was in the mix until, you know, he went to Dallas. So I'd love to hear your thoughts as a Browns fan looking into this hire.
Yeah, this one, obviously everybody was waiting on, and Twitterverse kind of went nuts with this one on Sunday once the news dropped on it. I'm kind of still on the fence on it just for the fact that, I mean, I've been through this type of scenario for so long, and I kind of thought they were going to go with one of the candidates that had maybe a little bit more head coaching experience and maybe not go through the whole first-time head coach thing. But I think with how this went, with the amount of interviews they did, who was leading the group, I think Haslam kind of learned a little bit because of previous decisions that were made. And he kind of put somebody in charge, which was Paul De Podesta. Paul De Podesta wanted Stefanski last year, and this was known. So this was actually the second round of interviewing for Stefanski coming through the Browns organization and meeting the brass. So it was interesting to see how this one came through. But you know what? I'm going to kind of look ahead. I've been a Browns fan since as long as I can remember. Goes back to the early 80s. Saw my first game was at Old Municipal Stadium, and the Browns were playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'll always and forever bleed brown and orange, and I'll always support this team. But I'm going to kind of take the wait and see and kind of see what the offense does and what this team does in response to this new coach. The biggest thing is going to be is how the staff gets filled. there's already kind of some question on who the offensive coordinator is going to be. There's some rumors out there. Nothing's kind of final yet, but we'll kind of see what happens here over the next 2 days or so as he starts building and who's retained from the current staff. There's already been news that Munkin is possibly moving on to the college ranks. So we'll kind of see what happens here with how this staff comes together. But I'm optimistic about it because Stefanski has had, I'll say, average to below average quarterbacks as he's been with the Minnesota organization his whole career and came up as a quarterback coach. And he's put those quarterbacks in great positions and has made the playoff multiple times. So the guy knows what to do with quarterbacks. And in my opinion, I think Baker has a little bit more talent than Cousins does. And the weapons that this team still has is there. And I think last night proves a lot. First year coaches, even though they may not have experience in their offensive play callers, they can get 6-win teams into the playoffs. Just look what Matt LaFleur did this year with the Packers.
And not only does, you know, Stefanski and the Cleveland Browns need to work on that coaching staff, they also need to work on their front office as they're still looking for their next GM. I believe that, you know, finding the new GM is paramount for Cleveland in the next few weeks. They have requested interviews for Colts assistant general manager and Eagles vice president of football operations, Andrew Berry. So we'll see what happens as that moves forward. Cleveland Browns hold the 10th overall pick in the NFL draft as of right now. So that is definitely something they need to pay attention to. I believe offensive line is something as an issue to help protect Baker Mayfield and those receivers as you move forward. But I'd love to move on real quick, and that is the national championship. 8 o'clock tonight Eastern, it's going to be on ESPN. The LSU Tigers take on the Clemson Tigers. It's the battle of the Tigers here. And, man, this game's going to be absolutely amazing. The battle of arguably probably the next two number one overall picks in this year's draft and next year's draft, Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence. The money line is pretty good. Right now, it is the spread is a 5.5 favor for LSU. They are the favorites, and a lot of people are predicting LSU to win this football game. I'm predicting LSU to win. I'm going to give a 38-34 prediction. I think that they can win this football game. I'm all aboard that Joe Burrow train, but I'd like to hear your take on this as we move forward to tonight's game between LSU and Clemson.
Yeah, this is going to be, I think, one of those old-fashioned air raid, super strike, quick offense scoring type bowl games. And I think it's going to be, we're in for a doozy. I'm definitely excited about the game overall because the college football playoffs this year, I think overall had the right four teams in the mix. Yes, I'm a little bummed Ohio State's not in the championship game. LSU is just playing outstanding football right now, and they proved it in their last two games by just basically demolishing two top tier level teams. They just ran roughshod all over Georgia, and then they basically whitewashed Oklahoma in the first half and just made that game not even relevant for the second half. Clemson had a fight on their hands with Ohio State. That game, I think, was the better matchup because the stylistic forms of both teams met much better. But Clemson was able to keep their winning streak alive. It's up to 29 games now. So they outlasted a very good, talented Ohio State team for the right to play in this game. And it's going to be a good game. It's going to really come down to how many plays Burrow and Lawrence can make, and really if the defenses can actually come up with some stops. Now, LSU's defense has been playing absolutely lights out football and not giving up anything to really let the offense kind of put the game out of reach, and then they just kind of relax and go from there. But Clemson's not going to roll over, and it's going to be a very tough game.
Joe Burrow had a fantastic game in the college football playoffs against Oklahoma. He scored 8 total touchdowns, 7 through the air, 1 rushing. However, that Oklahoma defense is nowhere near as good as this Clemson defense is. So it'll be interesting to see how Joe Burrow does on the game tonight. And we can't forget about what happened last year. Trevor Lawrence absolutely just made Alabama look like a complete joke in the national championship. And he was a freshman last year. So we can't rule out the great play and in the spotlight that Trevor Lawrence can put up. He threw almost 350 yards in that game last year. And his top receivers, T. Higgins, was one of them. And he should be ready to go after dealing with some kind of injury in the playoff game against Ohio State. I'm really excited for this game tonight, but I'm holding on to Joe Burrow and company. I think they win this game, but they win it close. I think they win by four. I'm going with 38-34. What's your prediction tonight?
I think they'll cover the spread. I think it'll be about a 10-point victory. I'll go 41-31 LSU to get the national championship, and Mr. Joe Burrow from Athens, Ohio, finishes it off and gets ready to take his Heisman and his national championship, more than likely, to Cincinnati to play for the Bengals.
What a storybook ending that would be for Joe Burrow if he can have that happen tonight. Hey, Ed, thanks for coming on with me. As always, we had a great slate today as we talked about all the NFL playoffs, your Browns with their new head coach, and a college football preview tonight. It's going to be a great game. Can't wait to have you on again as we get ready for the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship game. I'll see you back here on Friday morning.
Sounds good, Christian. See you then, and have a good week.
This is your NBA scoreboard for the weekend. On Saturday, the Houston Rockets defeated the Minnesota Timberwolves 139-109. Harden passes 20,000 career points. In Boston, the New Orleans Pelicans lose to the Celtics 140-105. Jason Tatum with a career high 41 points. The Chicago Bulls defeat the Detroit Pistons 108-99 Saturday. Zach LaVine 25 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. The Los Angeles Lakers beat the red-hot OKC Thunder 125-110. Rondo, 21 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. And Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks defeat the Philadelphia 76ers 109-91. Luka with 19 points, 8 rebounds, and 12 assists in that matchup. The Cleveland Cavaliers defeat the Denver Nuggets on Saturday night, 111-103. Double-doubles for all three, Love, Thompson, and Osmond for the Cavaliers in that one. And finally, to wrap up Saturday night, the Milwaukee Bucks defeat the Portland Trailblazers 122-101. Giannis, Middleton, and Bledsoe combined for a remarkable 91 points in that matchup. Moving on to Sunday slate, the New York Knicks defeat the Miami Heat 124-121. Julius Randle with 26 points and rookie J.R. Barrett with 23 points as well. He was 7-for-10 on field goals. The Utah Jazz defeat the Washington Wizards yesterday 127-116. Bogdanovich with 31 points and Rudy Gobert with 21 points and 14 rebounds. The Brooklyn Nets defeat Atlanta Hawks 108-86. The Atlanta Hawks now move to 8-32. Kyrie Irving returns with 21 points. Cam Reddish for the Hawks scores 20. The San Antonio Spurs get back into their winning ways and defeat the defending champion Toronto Raptors by a score of 105-104. DeMar DeRozan with 24 points, and for the Raptors, Serge Ibaka with 21 points and 14 rebounds. The Memphis Grizzlies hold on to that 8th spot in the West by defeating the Golden State Warriors this weekend, 122-102. Russell for the Golden State Warriors scores 34 points, but it's not enough as they lose by 20. The Denver Nuggets come back and win yesterday, 114-104 against the Los Angeles Clippers. Jokic with 20 points, 15 rebounds. Kawhi Leonard with 30 points. And to wrap up the NBA scores from the weekend, the Phoenix Suns defeat the Charlotte Hornets 100-92. Kelly Oubre with 25 points. 7 games on the slate for the NBA tonight as we start off at the 7 o'clock tip-off games with the New Orleans Pelicans heading to Detroit to take on the Pistons and the Philadelphia 76ers to take on the Indiana Pacers. At 7:30 Eastern, the Chicago Bulls will take on the Boston Celtics in Boston. At 8 o'clock, the tip-off will be in Minnesota as OKC Thunder will head on to face the Timberwolves. And at 10 o'clock, we have two matchups. The Charlotte Hornets will take on the Trailblazers in Portland, and the Magic will head to Sacramento to take on the Kings. And we wrap up tonight's matchups in the NBA with the Cavaliers taking on the Los Angeles Lakers at the Staples Center. That tip-off is at 10:30. And that'll do it for your NBA wrap-up for this Monday morning.
And now it's time for your Weekend in Review Injury Report. I'm Nick, first in the NBA. Joel Embiid hurt his fingers with a torn ligament in his ring finger. He's reported to miss multiple weeks of action. In the NFL, after a season-ending loss to the Tennessee Titans, Julian Edelman hurt the roof of a car, being arrested in the process. And in the NFL, all Cleveland Browns fans are butthurt after the signing of Kevin Stefanski as their head coach and not Josh McDaniels. Back to you, Christian.
Ken Cotterill is a senior writer for OTH. You can find him on Twitter at SSBasketballPod.
Hey, Ken, how you doing? Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend. And how's it going?
Oh, it's going really well. Yeah, it was a good weekend. Lots of good playoff football matchups, as well as a ton of college basketball ones as well. So it was a good sports weekend, that's for sure.
Well, I'm glad that you brought up college basketball because it's exactly what we want to get into this Monday morning here at OTH Daily Podcast. And your OTH daily rankings, or weekly rankings, I should say, are dropping today. And college basketball had a couple upsets. We had a top five matchup with Baylor winning. We're going to have some mix up in the top five all over the place. So I'd love to hear what your thoughts here. Maybe a tease a little bit, your article, and then we'll talk about maybe some of the games moving forward. But OTH rankings coming out, really big deal here, OTH this Monday morning.
Yeah, this was a really fascinating week in college basketball. A lot of the top teams won this week, so we may not see a huge change up near the top. Maybe we'll see a change for one of the spots in the top five, but that's to be determined still. But the crazy part was a lot of these lower end ranked teams lost. I mean, if you go from 18 down to 25 in the AP poll, all of them lost except one, which is Wichita State. So we're going to have to determine which teams deserve to drop out and which deserve to move up based off of those games. A lot of teams in the middle of the rankings won. Ohio State sitting at 11 in the AP poll. They dropped back-to-back games. So are they going to stay on the list? It'll be interesting to see, that's for sure.
Another team that dropped a game this weekend was Michigan State. They moved to 12-4 on the year, and they were number 8 originally. And it's that one's going to be really interesting. A lot of teams are going to be going up and down. Some teams probably going to move in, maybe in Iowa, a Seton Hall. I haven't personally seen the list yet. I'm really excited for it. And, you know, without actually telling us who number one is, there might be a change. To me, we might see a possibility of Gonzaga moving away, even though they're still sitting at 16-1. And that's because of the Baylor and Kansas game over the weekend. We had number 3 versus number 4. Baylor wound up winning against Kansas in Kansas, which is really impressive. They finally get a win against a top 20 or top 5 team on the road for first time in college basketball history for the Baylor Bears. Baylor looks really good. Is there a chance that we might see them dethrone the Gonzaga here? Is there a possibility? Give us a little bit here.
Yeah, I would definitely say that there is a good chance of it. I mean, if you're looking at Baylor winning on the road against a top five team, they won by 12, first time winning at the Allen Fieldhouse in program history. I mean, it's a huge win for them. And I think we're getting to the point in the college basketball season where it's less so about how many wins and losses you have and more so notable victories in your overall resume. Baylor right now is only one loss on the year, as well as Duke and Gonzaga. But if we're looking at overall strength of schedule, Baylor's had a tough one. They've definitely beaten some good teams. They've beaten teams like Villanova this year. They beat Washington on the road, which is a big win they lost to Washington on the road. That was their lone loss, but they've now won 12 in a row. So Baylor's definitely an intriguing team. Gonzaga with 18 victories now to just their lone loss. However, they haven't really played anyone in conference play. What's really helping them hold down number one in the AP poll is that they were able to knock off teams like Arizona, Washington, Oregon. Those are some huge victories, but now they're in a weak conference. They're still in the West Coast Conference, which has been a pretty weak conference overall. Duke now has won 9 in a row, so are we able to displace them from number 2 on our rankings? It's definitely going to be interesting, but Baylor's got a good shot, that's for sure.
Speaking of a lot of wins, there's two teams still in this AP Top 25 that are unbeaten, and that is San Diego State and Auburn. Now, both these teams are not being talked as number one teams just yet, and that could be because of strength of schedule. but they sit at least in the top 10. That's for sure. In my book, is there a possibility we might be seeing both of these teams in the top five as your rankings pop up this morning?
Yeah, I mean, Auburn was in my top five last week. They were able to knock off Vanderbilt and Georgia at home this week. So they will be staying in the top five. I will be intrigued by this week with them, being that they'll have to go and play Alabama and Florida on the road. Those are going to be two tough games for them. San Diego State, as you said, they haven't really had the strength of schedule. Their big win this year was probably their win over Utah State when they won by nine on the road in that one. So there is a chance of them getting in. The question is, can I displace the Butler Bulldogs? Because they did lose to Baylor this year. That is their lone loss. And outside of that, they're 15-1. So that's not really a loss that I want to hold against them. But, you know, there is an outside shot that San Diego State overtakes them. They do have two more wins than them on the year. It'll be interesting to see.
One thing that we don't talk about enough is the ACC when it comes to basketball this season, because the conference is actually a little weak compared to past seasons. And at the moment, compared to last week, we had four teams in the top 25. Can that be changed this week? Are we actually going to see less teams in the top 25 ranked, especially with the national champions, University of Virginia, moving to an 11-4 record after a tough weekend, especially against Syracuse with an overtime loss?
Yeah, I mean, there is a chance that we could see one less. There is also a chance, however, that we could see one more. I mean, Duke and Florida State and Louisville are all safe. They're on 9-7 and 2-game win streaks, respectively. Virginia was in our top 20 last week, so while they did lose a tough one this week, there is a chance that they cling on to a spot. But Virginia Tech is a team that a lot of people aren't talking about. They've won two in a row. Their losses this year, they've lost to Duke, BYU, Dayton, who's another top 25 team, as well as Virginia. So those aren't really terrible losses for them. So at 12-4, there is an outside shot that they could get in. If not, then they do have a chance to prove themselves this week, as they'll have Wake Forest on the road and Syracuse at home. So it'll be interesting to see. You could see 3 to 5 teams. It'll all be depending on once we finally finish up our rankings.
I'm here with Ken Cotterill on a Monday at the OTH Daily Podcast. And Ken, there is not any top 25 games on the slate today, nor any bubble teams. It's really a slow day for top Power 5 college basketball. So before we go, is there any other team that maybe that a lot of people might not be prepared to see on the rankings, or will be shocked to see that maybe they fall off? And where you can find your article today as it drops for the OTH weekly rankings college basketball?
Yeah, I mean, a program that we featured over the last couple weeks moving up was Wichita State. You may see them spike up the list with all of these bottom teams losing, so look out for them to move up. One team that you will see dropping off that is one of the more powerful programs in college basketball will be the Arizona Wildcats. They've been clinging on to the bottom of the rankings for the past couple of weeks. They didn't play for a while, and then this week they lost to Oregon in overtime on the road. So you may see them drop out. You'll be able to find our article on the Overtime Heroic site. It'll be under college basketball, as well as it'll be featured on the homepage. So you'll have to check out our rankings for sure. We're going on week 10. So, I mean, we're finally hitting double digits in the season.
Well, week 10 has definitely been an interesting one without a doubt. As you said earlier, a lot of the teams towards the bottom lost. We're going to see a whole bunch of changes. No other than the guy here, Ken, that's going to really knock it out. If you want to see more of Ken's content, you can check him out at Shooter Shoot Basketball Pod. Ken, thanks for stopping by, and I'll see you here next week.
Thanks for having me.
And that'll do it for the OTH Daily Podcast for Monday, January 13th, 2020. As always, I'm your host, Christian Rao. Hey, make sure you guys check out the college basketball power rankings on our website, overtimeheroics.net, and you can check us out on Twitter at OTHeroics1. It's going to be a good one. Definitely going to be a good one. Going to be a lot of mixing up, and I hope you guys enjoy that national championship game tonight. It's going to be a dandy. I'm still taking Joe Burrow. I'm all aboard that Joe Burrow train. It's going to be a great one, but man, can't count out Trevor Lawrence either. Hey, we'll be talking about that game tomorrow morning for sure. There's no doubt about it. So we will see you back here bright and early tomorrow morning. Take care now.
Thanks for listening. Tune in weekdays right here at the OTH Daily Podcast.